When we read Megillat Eicha, it seems to us at the beginning that it's just a repeat of crying and more crying and more crying and more lamenting and more lamenting and more lamenting, and just the same ideas just in different words, and we don't really notice the difference between the first parak, the second parak, etc. But actually, there are real differences between each eicha, between each parak, and it's worthwhile looking into them and noticing them. And we'll just deal here with parak bet, really quite quickly, a few hearot. First of all, big difference between the first parak and the second parak is that in the first parak, the subject is Yerushalayim. How did it happen, such a thing, to Yerushalayim? And then it goes on to describe some of the terrible things that happened to Yerushalayim. In the second parak, we find that the subject is not Yerushalayim per se, but Hashem is the subject. And this really picks up actually at the very end of the first parak, where he mentions in Pasuk Chaf Aleph that our enemies were joyous, ki ata asita, because you did all this to us. In the second parak, this line continues, but much more forcefully. And in almost every single pasuk, Hashem is the subject. Hashem is the one that caused all the troubles. Hashem is the one who threw us down to earth. Hashem destroyed, Hashem uprooted, Hashem pointed his arrow at us, Hashem acted like an enemy, and then on and on and on. This keeps on going, that Hashem really was the one who did all these things to us. Now the fact is, this seems to be very strong accusations against Hashem, and it seems to maybe increase our tzar, that Hashem took out his wrath upon us. But in actuality, this is really a source of nechama. The pasuk in Tehillim says, Ozreini Hashem Elokai Hoshieni Kechasdecha, Hashem, my God, save me. Save me Kechasdecha, like your with your chesed, v'yedu ki yadcha zot, and everyone should know that this came from your hand, ata Hashem asita, you're the one who did this. Now, in the world of hashkacha pratit, sometimes bad things happen to a person or a group of people, and Hashem decides based on the spiritual level of the person or the group, whether he's going to intervene and change the course of history and actually prevent something bad from happening or turn it out to be good. That's one form of hashkacha pratit, where Hashem will intervene. But if Hashem is the cause of the tzara, he also is very, very close to changing the gzeirah. Hapesha asar hu hapesha yitir. He's the one who caused it. He could easily overturn it. He doesn't have to intervene. He just has to change the order of what it was in the first place. Hashem is the one with his finger on the button, kivyachol. He's the one who caused the tzara. It actually is a source of nechama that he is the one who can easily overturn the gzeira. That's point number one. Point number two that I want to stress is that in Perek Aleph, Yerushalayim appears as a wife. She's an almana, haitaka almana, or she appears as a nida, an isha tmeya, and an isha tmeya here could be a euphemism for a woman who was unfaithful to her husband. And we find this mashal in all of Tanakh that Klal Yisrael was the unfaithful wife, and she went after other gods and abandoned Hashem, and therefore Hashem took out his wrath against her, and he wasn't there for her. But she was like an almana. In other words, her husband wasn't around to protect her. She had no husband. Her husband wasn't there. Or her husband abandoned her, kivyachol, because she abandoned him. That is the way Yerushalayim and Klal Yisrael appear in Perek Aleph. In Perek Bet, she appears as a daughter. We find the words bat 11 times in the Perek. She's bat Zion, bat Yerushalayim, bat Yehuda. She's a daughter. She's not a wife. She's a daughter. And a daughter, a child, even if that child has sinned and has gone off the derech, so to speak, it's still our child. And therefore, Hashem, we pleading out to Hashem and describing ourselves as his daughter, as his child, not as a wife that has abandoned him, where there's a cause of anger towards such a wife, but a daughter. And that is really looking up to Hashem as the father who can really have rachmanut on the daughter. The third thing that I would like to mention in the perek is we find something unique in this perek where it talks about the Nevi'ei Sheker. The Nevi'im that were giving Musar were not giving Musar, that was necessary to turn back Klal Yisrael from their evil ways, weren't there. The Nevi'im said things in Pasuk Yudal, Nevi'ai Chazulach Shav V'Tafel. Your Nevi'im said only lies, and they didn't reveal your sins to bring you back to do tshuva. All they did was tell you a bunch of lies. They were Nevi'ei Sheker. And earlier in the parak, we find that the Nevi'im weren't around to give real, the Nevuah was missing. There was no Nevi'eha lo matzu chazon me'ashem, because that's in Pasuk Tet. The Nevi'im didn't find Nevuah. And the reason for this is mentioned later on towards the end of the parak, Im yehareg b'mikdash Adonai kohen v'navi. And this, as we all know, the famous Gemara in Gittin refers to that horrible, horrible maisa of in the time of Yoash HaMelech, when Yoash ordered the murder of, in the Beit HaMikdash, on Yom Kippur, of Zechariah ben Yehoyada, who was a Kohen and who was a Navi, who actually gave Musar to Am Yisrael, and that blood never was absorbed in the floor of the Beit HaMikdash. It was boiling for hundreds of years until Nevuzradan actually wanted to put out that blood that was boiling, and he murdered millions in order to stop the blood from boiling up from the floor of the Beit HaMikdash. It was one of the most greatest, but also one of the most horrible miracles in the entire history of the Beit HaMikdash, that the blood did not stop boiling. And that was because in the Mikdash Hashem, a murder of a Kohen, he was the Kohen Gadol, and he was the Navi, took place. And because of that, in the time of the Churban, there were no Nevi'im. There was no Nevuah. Yirmiyah wasn't listened to, and the only Nevi'im that were listened to were Nevi'ei Sheker. And this was because of the way that the Nevi'im were treated by Klal Yisrael, and that started all the way back with Yoash HaMelech early on in Bayit Rishon. That pasuk, pasuk tet, where it says Malka v'sareha bagoyim ein Torah, their king, the king of Yerushalayim, the king of Klal Yisrael, and its ministers were taken away by the goyim, and there is no Torah. Gam neviyelo matzu chazon me Adonai. There was no Torah and there was no nevuah at the time of the Churban. The Beit HaMikdash is supposed to be the place where Torah goes out. Kol Hashem shiyotzei mibein shnei akruvim. Nevuah and Torah come out of the Beit HaMikdash. Also the Lishkat HaGazit is in the Beit HaMikdash. And that is non-existent because of the murder of the Kohen and the murder of the Navi that took place in the Beit HaMikdash. And that is really what the Churban is all about. The Yerida of the Torah that comes, the word of Hashem that comes out of the Mikdash, and the word of Torah that comes out of the Mikdash is no longer there in its immense power because of the Churban. And we look up to Hashem and we ask for His mercy. As a Bat Zion, as a Bat Yehuda, as a Bat Yerushalayim, and we say to Hashem, you did this, and you could easily turn the tide the other direction and give us rachamim and nechamah.